A God morning to you. And I want to welcome you back to the God School. For those of you who are faithful listeners, hearers at the God School and supporters, I want to let you know we're having some trouble. We're having some trouble with this vehicle God has chosen, that is the internet site called thegodschool.com that God has chosen to deliver to the hearers thereof his word. Not only this last week are we continuing to experience the inability for you to give comments back on the website, but the whole damn site went down. By help of one of the servers, we got the site back up, and that part wherein the message is delivered is working again. One of the listeners called me this week saying he was having trouble getting the site back up. And I found out another result of this trouble. When the website went down, that which the internet records, that is, number of hits to the website, which on some search engines gives place to the website, namely here, the God School, it's virtually off the table. That is, well, quite frankly, we couldn't find it. I'm not saying it's not there, but if you searched out the God School, you probably have to go way, way deep inside of Google now to find any mention of the God School. A remedy for this is, you know, over the next few weeks, I'd like each of you to exercise your typing skills and or your index finger, and if nothing else, draw up the website daily or several times during the day and restore an opportunity afforded by numbers of hits to the website to put the God School back, if you will, on the internet map. I'm thanking God, as you all should be, for that trouble and other troubles that we're being assaulted by, gives me strength from the knowledge of God's word that maybe, just maybe, we're doing a little bit right in this endeavor to put forward the truth of the Word of God, which we call the Bible. Which, even unto this day, in spite of all the assaults on it, both from outside the church as well as from inside, what is called the church, God has preserved his word, and by his grace, we will continue to deliver that word. Next week is what the whole church and the world at large is called Easter Sunday. I want you to know something. The word Easter doesn't even appear in Scripture. It does in a translation. I believe it's in the book of Acts. But it's a translation influenced by tradition. It is not translating the original Greek word, which is paschal, which is talking about the Passover. Easter is an English word. It's a transliteration of Ishtar, this is not my message today, but I'm going to deliver it, which is another form of a name which comes from the ancient Babylonian religion of Nimrod and Semiramis. Easter is a pagan name. So not only does the church incorrectly celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they put even a pagan name on it. You know, if Satan can't eliminate the truth of God, he will take and twist it ever so slightly, whereby the faith that God has gifted to his chosen might be somewhat compromised. Today, in advance of next Sunday, I'm going to speak to the subject of the resurrection of Jesus Christ on our headline on the website. We have that image, I believe, rightly imaged of Christ's resurrection, whereby he came through that rock, whereby we make the proclamation, but now is Christ risen from the dead. For the resurrection is the foundation of the Christian faith, as well as its hope. And as Paul makes or begins his proclamation, as he begins his declaration, as he begins his unfolding of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we find in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand." Let me, by having been taught, by having studied, by having the gift of God's Spirit, let me see if I can even unfold that first verse. Paul says, "I would remind you, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, of which in the first chapter of Romans, the 16th verse, he said, 'For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for therein is the power,'" that is, in the gospel, "'the power of God unto salvation.'" What Paul is saying here is, "I declare unto you the evangelion which I gospelized unto you." In delivering the gospel, he says, He's gospelizing. He's not only presenting, but making available the power of God unto salvation. Which also you received, and wherein, King James says, ye stand. The original says, wherein you have standing. In legal terms, one cannot sue unless one has standing, unless the relationship is recognized. The relationship with God is through the gospel, the good news, the God spiel. Is of God, and in it we have the relationship, we have standing by which you are being saved King James says, if you keep in memory I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, by which you are being saved, if you retain what word? The gospel. What I gospelized unto you, unless you have faith in vain. And like Paul, I can say, for I have delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. All the way back in Genesis, God promises one born of woman. There are several references. We can go to an Old Testament passage in the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, 26th verse, speaking of Christ, after of Messiah, Christ, our deliverer. The anointed, it says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. He was cut off for us. Isaiah says, but he was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquity. First Peter says, 2nd chapter, 24th verse, who his own self, speaking of Christ, bare our sins in his own body. How that Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. There is no prophecy of Scripture of private interpretation. The whole Christian church celebrates Resurrection Day by calling it by a pagan name. They celebrate the set times of God by tradition and not by God's word. Paul says the feast days of God were but shadows of things to come, that the substance was Christ. In the feast days of God, on the 14th day of the month, was Passover. To be recognized and celebrated by God's people. And the day after that day was the feast of unleavened bread. It was a high Sabbath. That's the second feast or set time of God. The third set time of God was on the first day of the week following the feast of unleavened bread, was the feast of first fruits. Study the record of the gospel. And Jesus said, as the only proof that he was who he said he was that as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man. And there are multitude references within the scriptures regarding these 3 days and three nights. And in it, the testimony of God's faithfulness. The Christian church celebrates the Last Supper, which was Christ with his apostles celebrating Passover. They celebrate it on Thursday night. They celebrate or recognize or bring to memory or practice by tradition Christ being crucified on Friday, buried before sundown Friday night, in the grave Friday night, and Saturday night, and Saturday, whereby they testified to the world that Christ was in the tomb at best a day and a half. God's word testifies over and over 3 days and three nights. In the Hebrew calendar, by which they lived in the time of Christ, the day began at sundown. Whereby, on that week that Jesus was crucified, Passover began on Tuesday night, and Christ celebrated and drew to memory and gave substance to the full meaning of the Passover with his disciples on Tuesday night. He went to the garden, he prayed, he was betrayed, he was arrested, he was tried, he was tried, he was tried. Though no guilt found, because not for himself, but for our sins, found guilty. He was crucified that Wednesday. He was buried before sundown Wednesday night, which was the beginning of the set time of unleavened bread. It was a high Sabbath day. That's the Sabbath referred to in those things describing the need for him to be buried quickly. And he went in, his dead body was laid in that tomb before Wednesday on sundown, the beginning of that set time. And it was in the tomb Wednesday night and Thursday night. And Friday night, and Saturday, and the beginning of the feast of the set time of God, which was the beginning of the first day of the week, which, as it is today, was back then Sunday, but on their calendar as the first stars shone in the heavens Saturday evening. He by the power of God, which raised him up, came out of that tomb. Because God had promised Jesus in a covenant before the foundations of the world that if Christ would not only do for us, but for God also, what Christ did for us and for God also, that God would raise him up and give him a name which is above every name. In heaven and earth and beneath the earth. In the book of Romans, in the first chapter, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called, King James says, to be an apostle. The word simply means sent one. Separated unto the gospel, the evangelion, the good news of God, which he had promised aforetime by his prophets in the holy scriptures, in the holy writings, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David. Which was with God, facing God, from eternity, took upon himself the seed of David. Became kin with us. According to the flesh. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Jesus. Was most unique. This week, you're going to, if you watch television, if you probably read periodicals, if you celebrate in the traditions of your churches, you're going to be bombarded with traditions without taking a hard look at the facts. The most unique figure in the stage of history. Who was man and God, who said things that no man had the right to say unless he were what he said he was, which was the Son of God. Read the claims of Jesus. He was either a nut or a fraud, or was what he said he was, and that evidence or vindication of the truth that he spoke, he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. Back to 1 Corinthians 15. He rose again, according to the scriptures. Paul goes on to say, after having been raised, he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part, when Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians, remain unto this present. But some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of all the sent ones, that I am not right to be called a sent one, because I persecuted the church of God. On our own merits, ladies and gentlemen, there is not one of us who deserves meet to be called, deserves to be called a sent one. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain. The literal is, which into me, the Greek word is genomai, translated was. His grace, which into me, genomai, middle voice, that which God had given the grace was not in vain, that God had given for himself. He did this because of himself. This grace was not in vain. Back to Romans 1. Declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Sent one-ship. By grace. Certainly not. are deserving of it. But I labored more abundantly than they all, Paul says. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach. And so ye believe. Now, in this first verse, we have the translation preached. And in the 11th and 12th verse, we have the translation preach or preached. They're two different words. Paul says in the first verse, gospelized, evangelized. Here in the 11th verse, he says, whether I or they, so we proclaim. Now, if Christ be proclaimed that he rose from the dead, now Paul goes into some that are arguing that there is no resurrection. And here's his argument. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, that is empty, that is hot air, and ye are yet in your sins. In Romans 4:24, it says, but I want to go on. Let's start a little earlier. 4:21, and speaking of Abraham and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That was Christ's attitude. He prayed, Father, remove this cup from me. If it be possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Because he was persuaded that what he had promised, that is, what God, Jesus was persuaded, what God has promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was, now back to Abraham, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That is faith. And therefore, and now, it was not written for Abraham's sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also. That is, that righteousness was imputed unto him for faith, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we faith on him. Speaking again, every reference to Christ's resurrection is that God raised him up. On him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again, King James says, for our justification. The New Testament word, the New Testament Greek word for that word in the English translated sin is hamartia. And it simply means to fall short. By our actions. When it says here, who, again, speaking of Christ, was delivered for our offenses, this word is paroptima. And it's not a verb, it's a noun. It is describing our condition. Means a deviation from truth. Jesus Christ said he was the way, the truth, and the life. Our condition is born out of fellowship with God. That which Jesus came to do was to restore us to this relationship that God had from the beginning always intended for us. But through sin and the condition of sin, we had been removed. Christ came to restore the relationship. Wherein? God in Christ has fulfilled and is fulfilling and will fulfill that which he said in the beginning, let us make man in our image. And the entire testimony of the Word of God is that he is righteous. And this 25th verse of Romans 4 says, who was delivered for our condition and was raised again for the Greek word is dikaiousis. And it also is a noun. And it is a new condition. One that by the resurrection we have not only with Christ, but in Christ as he has placed us in him, and not only so, he has placed himself in us. And he is declared to be the Son of God with power, wherein we have received grace. And set oneness. Apostleship. to the, not obedience, to the hearing of faith. Well, you say, Don, if now we have this relationship where we really are restored to the creator of the universe, then shouldn't we all be having a great life? Here's another error. Preached in and taught and in many places taken over in the church. That God has a great purpose in our lives, and we're going to see it here and now. Continue in 1 Corinthians 15, 18th verse. That, let's go back to the 17th. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. All that will live carrying this message of the gospel, of the power of God unto salvation, of Jesus Christ declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, if we live in this awareness, if we retain that word that was delivered to us, that is the good news of God, that we are restored to God through what Christ has done, that he has made us a new creation in Christ Jesus. Paul declares, without reservation, shall suffer persecution. And as Christ in this life suffered and died as a criminal on the cross, but was vindicated by the resurrection of the dead, so each one of us has to hold fast that promise of God, that he who raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies and set us together again in Christ Jesus. To the glory of God and our testimony as those in Christ, that not of this world shall Turn me around. We are going through, by faith, and have the hope of God's word, and we'll see it manifest if we retain this word of God, the gospel, and continue on in faith. And that's the God School for today.